Amen. We should be constantly engaged in the pursuit of ever-increasing knowledge of our blessed Lord. We want to know more about him this year than we did last year. We want to be more like him this year than we were last year. We want to follow him with more commitment, with more dedication this year than we did last year. It is a blessed privilege to be able to live for the Lord. It is a glorious privilege and august opportunity for us to be able to gather together this morning at this time, at this place, with these people, that we might worship God as he directs us in his word. It is so good to be here this morning, and it is so good to see each of you here this morning. These are times that try men's souls. We all faced with many challenges each and every day in this particular world. We sing the song that time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Life is short. Life is uncertain. Life is very serious. And we should never take it lightly, nor should we take it for granted. We should be ever moved and constrained to hold to God's unchanging hand. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Judges. God had called Gideon for his leadership in delivering his people from the oppression of the Midianites. Gideon considered himself inadequate. Gideon considered himself incapable of answering God's call. But when he was finally convinced that God would be with him and that God would ensure his victory, he started out with a massive army of 32,000 troops. That was reduced ultimately to 300 men. You're talking about military reductions. That was a military reduction of a massive order. And when they followed the clear directions of the great God of Israel, they were able to secure an unbelievable victory. And they put the multitudes of the Midianites to flight. And Gideon, the general of God's troops, set off in pursuit of them. We read in verses 4 and 5, and these are the only verses I want to zero in on. Verse 4 says, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them." Verse number 5, "And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me." And let's read verse number 5b, the last part of verse 5. He said, "Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." Have you ever been faint? Have you ever been weak, dizzy? Have you ever been lacking in strength or vigor? Have you ever been tired, weary, maybe bone weary and worn out? Have you ever been on the verge of collapsing due to emotional or physical exhaustion? Have you ever worked so hard and so long that you felt like just crashing? I'm sure that most of us at some time or another have. We understand what it means to faint or to be faint. Gideon and his men, the Bible says, were faint. But despite their being faint, nevertheless, they continued their pursuit of their objectives. They continued their pursuit of their enemies. They were faint, yet they were pursuing. Sometimes in life, you see, Gideon and his troops had been up all night. Sometimes in life, we become similar to Gideon and his troops. We become faint. We can become faint by the stresses and strains of life. We can become faint by persistent chronic illnesses. We can become faint by being faced with various frustrations in life. Sometimes we become faint by virtue of numerous and diversified disappointments. Sometimes we become faint because of trials and tribulations. Sometimes we become faint because of the loss. Sometimes the inexplicable loss of loved ones. We become faint by experiencing financial difficulties. We become faint by going through various trials and tribulations in life. But my main point this morning is that no matter how faint we become, let us never give up our worthy and worthwhile pursuits. Don't allow your being faint to cause you to stop pursuing your goals and your purposes. Don't allow being faint to keep you from pursuing your financial goals. Don't allow being faint to hinder you in pursuing your spiritual goals. Don't allow being faint or anything else hinder you from continuing to strive toward glory, keeping in mind that inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Don't allow being faint to keep you from working out the problems and the kinks and the difficulties in your marriage. Don't allow being faint to cause you to give up. Renew your resolve to keep on keeping on. Don't allow anything to cause you to quit. Don't allow being faint to cause you to give up on your spiritual growth and development or on your personal development. There are some folks to which many of us can attest who, because of faintness, because of frustration, because of discouragement, have given up on continuing to pursue higher educational goals and objectives. And you know what folks do when they get tired and weary and worn out? Sometimes folks just throw in the towel and folks just quit. Sometimes folks ask, have you graduated? And their response could be, no, I just quituated. Yeah, I got tired of studying. I got tired of going to school and taking classes and taking tests and doing research and writing papers. I got tired of it, and I just gave up. You know, the Bible tells us, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. But it's so easy to faint, so easy to give up, so easy to lose heart. I was privileged to be a part of a special appreciation benefit program for my brother Abraham Jones at the Southside Church of Christ in Greenville, Mississippi. which was a wonderful success. But I was telling the vast assemblage of Christians from across that area and from Southside that one of the things that I appreciate very much about my brother Abraham is his spirit of determination, his spirit of commitment, his spirit of persistence. And I think that in his present condition, I believe that he embodies and epitomizes the spirit of Gideon and the 300. They were faint, yet continued pursuing. And I have witnessed him being faint by virtue of his chronic and persistent illness. He has faced some very serious challenges, as for 3 years he made regular visits to the MD Anderson Research Hospital, the cancer center. And now for about 6 months he's been making monthly visits to the Cancer Treatment Center of America, located in the Atlanta, Georgia region. A number of doctors and medical experts have told him that he didn't have very much chance of surviving. One doctor at MD Anderson told him on his last visit there, he said, you may as well just go on home and call hospice. But Abraham was emphasizing last night, and so was Brother Harvey M. Jackson, that that's not their call. God calls us according to his purposes. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's not over until the Lord says it's over. Abraham was describing the difference between the attitude and mentality of those who operate the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, and those who operate the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. He said, now at MD Anderson, you are simply a number. But at the Cancer Treatment Center of America, you are a name, you are a person, and they treat you with dignity, they treat you with respect, they treat you with compassion. They are genuinely and authentically concerned about your welfare and doing whatever they can to help restore you back to a good condition of health. And he says that has helped him to keep on keeping on. The love that has been demonstrated by family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ all over this country have helped fuel his determination to keep on fighting. And so I can see the spirit of Gideon and the 300 exemplified in Abraham Jones, who though he is faint, he is yet pursuing his goal toward gaining or regaining his health. But not only that, in serving the needs of the congregation, in reaching out with the gospel of Christ, even though he's sick, and offering counsel to troubled members of the congregation. He's making plans as he lies in bed, weak and faint, but yet he still pursues worthy spiritual goals and objectives. I can appreciate that, like I can appreciate Gideon and the 300. because though faint, they were filled with fervor and fortitude. Though they were weak, they were not wilting. Sapped of strength, they still sought success. Though dizzy, they were not discouraged. Though depleted of energy, they were not defeated. Though vigor was vanishing, they still valiantly pursued vital victory. Though tired, they were not ready to throw in the towel. They were committed to achieving their goals. Let us be similarly committed to achieving our goals as the people of God. The poet was right, and you've heard this before. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you'd like to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure has turned about when he might have won had he stuck it out. So don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the subject has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success's failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. That was the spirit of Gideon and the 300. They were faint, yet they were pursuing. They were still chasing. They were still following after. Let that be your spirit. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what circumstances surround you, even though you be faint, don't stop pursuing your worthy and meaningful goals. If you're here and you're not a Christian, there's no greater goal you can pursue than heaven. You can seek than securing your salvation. Jesus loved you and me so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We talked from 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 in our adult class this morning about the gospel consisting primarily and basically of the facts to be believed that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day. Sometimes people say, well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's basically correct, but it's not as accurate as it ought to be. The fact is, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus didn't just die, he died for our sins. And this didn't just happen on the spur of the moment. It had been predicted hundreds of years earlier. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and arose again the third day. And in being raised from the dead, Romans 1:4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That's good news. Those are glad tidings. Believe that good news with all of your heart. Recognize that when he died for you as an individual. And Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb, but he arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Now it's left up to you to believe that. And the Lord's not going to constrain you. He's not going to force you. He's not going to coerce you. He's not going to twist your arm. You must decide for yourself to accept the glorious gift of the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from that watery grave to live a brand new life. You can have all of your sins forgiven, all of your sins washed away. And you can start out today in a very few minutes to live a brand new life. I hope you'll have the commitment, the convictions, the courage to obey the gospel today. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and to obey. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you've been faint, faltering, and you've thrown in the towel, and now you are wallowing in an unenviable state of unfaithfulness and apathy, you can come back. You can renew your relationship. You can rededicate your life. You can recommit your life to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're here and the troubles and trials and tribulations and challenges of life are causing you to be faint, causing you to be tempted to throw in the towel, don't do it. You have the vast repository of infinite power at your availability in the vaults of heaven that can be easily accessed through the agency of prayer. You can always ask, brothers and sisters, pray for me. Brothers and sisters, pray with me. Brothers and sisters, I need your prayers. I'm faced with some overwhelming challenges. I'm faint and I'm trying to keep pursuing, but I'm tempted to turn in the towel, to throw in the towel. You don't have to. We'll be happy to pray with you and for you. If you're in either category and want to respond to the Lord's wonderful invitational call, we encourage you to do it now as we together stand.